Good morning. Is there a tree somewhere with your name or initials on it? Is there a door with your name on it? Has your name been in the newspaper? Not saying that has to be a bad thing. What kind of social post is your name attached to? Where our name is written and why it is there is something not to take lightly as reputations get formed. Now consider another place where your name can be found and what comes with it found there. That is what we're going to get into today. God's blessings on your worship as we now turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
We are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do?
We will confess before God all our sins, those which we remember, as well as those which we are unaware. We pray to God for His mercy and forgiveness.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to His people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. God of all power and might, You are the giver of all that is good. Help us love You with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need and keep us safe in Your care.
Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Kings 17, a question to keep in mind as we hear these words, does your trust in God need some work? Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. The word of the Lord. Have you found yourself asking the question how we are going to get through this life? Keep that in mind as we hear a reading from Holy Scripture, Philippians 4. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, In the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, with the encouragement for us to not become distracted, but rather to stay focused on this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We want to focus specifically at this time on the Gospel of Luke, where we're here once again. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, clear evidence of grace and action, not only in our readings this morning, but also in our lives. And at the heart of that grace and action is the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we are in the midst of an identity crisis taking place throughout our homes and even in our churches. And this is taking place throughout our nation and our world. This identity crisis, though, is really nothing new, but it has been regaining momentum the last few years, causing not just people under 40 to question their identity and buy into the faulty and self-focused thought process of the world with Satan behind it. Children are being put into not good situations when they are young. And as they grow up later in life, they are now crying out, some of them, due to what their parents, fueled by their selfish natures and the influence of those who are called to be the enlightened ones, did to them, messing up their biological identity. When order gives way to chaos, let us not think chaos will bring about order. And we are now seeing the ugly fruits of chaos, turning what is natural upside down. One side is allowed to spew whatever they want and intimidate. Well, those who want to speak in truth, the truth in love, are being blamed for the problems in this world. Romans chapters 1 through 3 clearly spells out what is happening. Luke chapter 10 spells out what needs to happen and why. You, dear child of God, should not have any doubt about your identity. The why and the what, that is. And what comes with that identity that you have been given, not by a human being or by human law, but by the Creator of the universe Himself. Now, the world can try to deny the facts about God and His work, but the testimony, it's just too overwhelming to ignore. And that just irritates their self-love even more. But you, dear child of God, rejoice. Rejoice in this and confirm it. Your name, and with what comes with your identity, your name, by the grace of God, is written in heaven. And it is by the grace of God that your name is written in heaven. God's grace in action. And as we said earlier, at the heart of that grace in action is the work of our Savior Jesus Christ, which was definitely necessary. Because you and I, together with all people in this world, by nature, are headed down a road that is a dead end. And sad to say, we don't even know it. Even though all the signs are there saying, this is a dead end, turn around, dead end, turn around, We just keep on going forward. Because sin has blinded us to what we really need. And we see, again, the need for our Savior. We hear about it as well every day, even on the subject matter of identity. People are hurting. People are messed up spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Because the world is trying to change what it means to be a child of God, and it's changing what one's God-given identity is. So we give way to God's order for chaos, and we expect order to be the result. Chaos does not bring about order. And so God had to act. And he did. And he has. And he does. And at the heart of that action is the work of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Father and the Son know that on our own, we're not going to be able to do anything but keep heading down that dead-end road. And so Jesus came and took on human flesh and took the curse of our sin upon himself and took our sin to the cross, where by grace, his sacrifice for our sin was acceptable to our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the one who gives us our identity. And thanks then to further grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, using the means of grace, baptism, and the Word itself, connects us to what Jesus did there on the cross. So that we can know through the Word of God, through what is proclaimed, the working of the Holy Spirit using that Word, we can know that our sins have been completely forgiven and that we have been given an identity which we cannot bring upon ourselves but which has been given to us by grace through God our Father. Not just an identity here for this side of heaven, but an identity for this side of heaven and beyond. Through holy baptism, you are a member of God's family. Through faith, which comes through the gospel in the Word, you are a member of God's family. You have been given true identity. And with that identity, then you are able to sort through the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Scriptures, able to sort through what is of the world in trying to mess up or take away your identity, in what is of God and what is trying to help and enhance and preserve your identity. Instead of going down a dead-end road, by the grace of God, through the work of the Spirit, using the means of grace, we are headed for a street lined with gold. And that's not a fairy tale. That's real. Thus the importance then, again, of our baptism or our coming to faith through the Word itself so that we can be connected to God and all that comes with it, that we can have His identity on us. And then through the Scriptures, learn how to live with that identity, to grow all the more with what that identity means and comes with. So God be praised. God be praised for giving us an identity that includes our name being written in heaven. God be praised for not only leading us to call on Him as Lord and Savior, but also through us leading others to call on Him as Lord and Savior. And so as Jesus points out in our gospel reading, when the people were who had been sent out to do miracles and proclaim news about Jesus, when they came back to Jesus and reported that, hey, people were coming to faith and we had the ability to do these miracles, It's just a cool thing. And he says, well, don't lose your focus. Don't get so caught up in what you were doing, but rather rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven, and by the grace of God, that their name is written in heaven. We are the instruments, but finally, God is the main thing. And we can never forget that. And so celebrate, again, your identity in Christ, and celebrate others' identity in Christ. And God also be praised when people you encounter reject you. We're not celebrating the fact that they rejected the invitation concerning Jesus, the Savior. We're celebrating the fact that perhaps we struck a chord with their conscience. Because who of us by nature wants to be held accountable? And when they lash out, what can you know you did? You struck a chord. They didn't want to be held accountable. So God be praised that you were led to speak the truth and to do so in love, and that you struck a chord that, Lord willing, either you or someone else can build on, and it can be struck again and lead to repentance and then a confession of faith in Jesus as the Savior. Now, with your name written in heaven, realize it does come with opportunity and responsibility. It comes with the opportunity and responsibility to live as reflections of this God-given identity. What is it that influences your words and actions on a day-to-day basis? Is it the Word of God? Is it the identity that you have been given? Do you contemplate this identity and what comes with it on a daily basis? Or do we allow the influences of this world through media or whatever has your attention, do we allow that to start chipping away at the influence God is to have on our life? I mean, no doubt the world can be very persuasive in its agenda and be all sounding logical about it. So we need to be ready. We need to remain equipped ourselves and not allow the world to influence us, but rather the Word of God to be our influence. Looking out for His interests and reputation. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. As Jesus has said, if you love the world or father or mother or whatever else more than me, then you are not worthy of me. It sounds harsh, but really it's the loving thing to say. This identity that we have been given by grace, it is not something to take lightly. It is to be protected. And as we are staying in the Word of our God, it is protected. So we need to live as reflections of our identity, bearing fruits of faith. And as we bear those fruits of faith, that also then puts us in a position to witness. I mean, what does Jesus say in our gospel? And it was not only true then, it's still true today. The harvest is plentiful, and yet the workers are few. It's always been that way. And yet, by the grace of God, the church keeps on growing, people being connected to Jesus. Maybe not the physical church per se, but the invisible church. The sum total of all believers. Jesus knew that then and still today, the reason why the harvest is plentiful, because there are plenty of hurting and confused people in the world. And perhaps sometimes we fall into that hurting and confused category as the world tries to influence us. And especially when it comes then to relatives who are struggling with identity. whose influence is going to win out? So again, we need to know what we are up against. Jesus tells us, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst the wolves. And so we need to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. We need to read up. We need to be in the know. And at times we're going to make ourselves vulnerable. But that's where the trust in God comes in yet again. That He has got us, that He is going to protect us, that He's going to give us what we need, that He will enlighten us. And yes, rejection of our invitations to come and hear about Jesus, those rejections will hurt. But keep in mind the bigger picture. Because too much is at stake. What did Jesus say? It's going to be more bearable for the city of Sodom, its inhabitants, than for that city who had Jesus right there in front of him, but rejected him. And think of where Jesus has been in our city and in our state. It can still be more bearable for Sodom than for the people in our city and state. That's alarming. So we need to know what we're up against and why, and the urgency. And we do need to pray for more workers, that Lord continue to help us be those workers, that we also pray and encourage others to be full-time workers in God's church, that God lead us to pray for opportunities and for what to say during those opportunities, that we are given the ability to speak up, that we encourage others to speak up the truth in love, and that we pray that God keep us prepared, that we don't become distracted by the things of this world. There's a reason why Jesus sent those people out without all the personal belongings, because what can happen too easily? We get our comfort zone and we get distracted, and it's easier to sit on the couch than it is to go and talk to our neighbor, whoever that neighbor might be. Might be easier to say, you know, that let someone else talk to them. I don't want them to not like me. I mean, we're not looking for people to hate us. That's not our goal. But we realize that may come as a result. But finally, whose opinion of you matters the most? Dear friends, you don't have to have an identity crisis when you're connected to Jesus. So celebrate where your name is written and the opportunities that come with it. Put into practice those opportunities that this identity gives you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the one who gives us a true and lasting identity. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith on page 8. We join, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. What are we meaning to say with these words?
Begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death.
All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him and his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated.
Again, thank you for using God's gifts to you for thank offerings, showing your love for God and your desire to support the work of the gospel, not just here at St. Mark's, but also throughout the world as we do send out missionaries in God's name to all parts of the world so that people can be clear on their God-given identity. And by the grace of God, have their name written in heaven. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Lord, continue to refresh the bodies and minds of Homer Carson, Arnold Detmer, and Len Sampile, who have been in need of medical assistance. Not only refresh their bodies as you will for them, above all refresh their faith with the reminder that these health challenges are temporary, and do not change their status with you through Jesus. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep your love for each of them at the forefront of their marriage, which then opens up opportunities to reflect that love. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Just to emphasize, Bible study taking place here in the church proper. We're looking at Luke, and the handouts for that study, if you didn't get one last week, are available there in the entryway. Summer Bible camp, we held that this last week. It was a good week. The Lord gave us nice weather in the morning, and so we had about 45 children, and we had 100 people at our cookout on Friday, so it went well. Thanks to all involved, hamburgers and hot dogs were served. And we do have some leftover hamburger and hot dog buns. So if you'd like some, they're in the entryway underneath the TV on the counter. Help yourself. Again, they're coming in packs. If you don't want all that's in a pack, find a friend and you can share them that way. But they're not meant to be individually grabbed. So help yourself. Use them up. With Summer Bible Camp, Alyssa Bergman, our junior K kindergarten teacher for this last year, she was an emergency teacher. She has one more year at Martin Luther College, her fifth year, so she needs to head back, and so she'll be heading back at the end of this month to go back to school. Well, she's definitely been a godsend. So Hannah Ripley will be taking over junior K and kindergarten, so we're thankful for her moving from grades 3 and 4 to junior K and kindergarten. And Jody Rowe, as you know, then will be our third and fourth grade teacher. So we got a good staff once again, and our enrollment is increasing, so we're thankful for the tours that are coming and they're signing up to attend our school. See the weekly news for other things that are that are going on at our church and school in the upcoming week. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.